Thank you, Paul, again for that reading and for the very, very warm welcome that I have sincerely appreciated and enjoyed here this morning. Just let's pray briefly before we open God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that it is your Word. It's not my Word, it's not other people's Word, it's your Word. As we open it, I pray that you would enable us to understand, to hear, enable us to respond. We know that this is a work of the Holy Spirit, and so we ask, Spirit of the living God, to fall afresh on each and every one of us now. Clear minds. Speak to people in the way that only you can. Thank you that you are that still small voice, that comforter, that counselor, that guide, that everlasting presence. Move, because we asked it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Could have the first slide up there. Whenever we look around the world today, it is very, very easy to become very disillusioned with the news. And I make a habit of not looking at the news maybe only twice in the day, because we can be fixated with everything that's going on. And there's very little of any good news. It's all about things that are going wrong in the world. And if you think about it, we've rolled from Brexit through COVID, through significant mental health issues and all the other tsunami of stuff that's going on there. We've had the Syrian problem, we've had Afghanistan, and now we've had the Ukraine. Obviously, because of my work in Myanmar, and that's somewhere that's close to my heart, the military coup out there, and the believers being persecuted. And you don't know how to pray, and you wonder, what should I be praying? Should I be praying? And it's very easy to come back to the Bible, to prayers, and to this particular prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And you pray it, your kingdom come. Your will be done. And you turn back the news and you think, where is your kingdom, Lord? Where is your will in this? Where is the voice of the church? Churches tend to be very, very silent. And then think about what I spoke about there during the children's talk. Think of those kids in that neighbouring school. Whenever we arrived in Preston, there was no children in the church, and yet there's a school, almost 200, next door. So we started a children's club. The end of the first year, there was 95 in it. The end of the next year, over 300. But go back to 95. Of those 95, only 3 had dad at home. That male role model completely taken out from young children's lives. It's no wonder that they're eating crisps and chocolate for breakfast. They don't know any better. They're looking after each other. Some of those people pictured there have attempted to take their own lives as well. And again, it's something that my wife Helen and I have ministered to and through. And we have been successful with God's power, obviously, and God's enabling. And nothing, no one has lost their life. But your kingdom come, your will be done. Young lives being destroyed. Young lives not even getting the chance to start out in life. What does it mean that we have good news? because we do have good news. And yet, the church is failing. I'm not saying the church in Northern Ireland. I've been away in England for 11 years. I have no comments to make on the church here in Northern Ireland across any of the denominations. I'm talking about England and Wales. The church has failed. The fact that 98% of people will never cross the threshold of a church building is not the 98% of people's fault. Obviously, Satan's distracting them, but the church is not doing what the church should be doing. And that's why one of the slides had the church without walls. I spend more and more and more time doing detached work out amongst the estates, just walking around, chatting with people. And we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. So in this prayer that we've read, there's I'm going to focus obviously on two lines of it, but as we go through it quickly, it begins by saying, do not be like the hypocrites. In other words, there will be people who are praying who are hypocrites. Are we genuine in our prayers? We have to stand, if you like, in front of a mirror and look at ourselves. How are we standing against the standards that's set here in the Bible? Are we being hypocritical? And as we go on down the prayers, it says, our Father in heaven. God, the Creator God, is our Father. Have we spent time building that relationship with our Father, possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the enabling of the Holy Spirit? We need to work on this. He's the Creator, He's the Sustainer, and therefore we should praise Him. I was something waking me in the middle of the night last night, and I got up about 2 o'clock, and where our house is just at the edge of the coast, and I was standing out looking at the port out through the porch windows at the sky, and there was tens of thousands of stars. And God created those. In Psalm 147, it says He counts or He determines the number of stars. He calls them each by name. And this is the power that we are praying to. And I know I won't be here tonight, but you're having your communion service. And there's real resurrection power whenever we focus in on this. So our prayers have to be very, very directional. So your kingdom come. That next slide, please. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What does your kingdom come look like? Well, across there on the right-hand side of the slide, you can see where I put up a few examples. Family, church, religion, and so forth. You can read them all down at your own leisure there. Your kingdom come in my family. So many families, it's one thing on the outside. When they close the doors, it's different inside. There's abuse of relationships. Are we praying, your kingdom come? In other words, God, please come down. Let a bit of heaven come into my family. Have we people in our families that aren't born again? Have they not made that commitment? Pray for salvation. Is there problems? Because Satan wants to destroy marriages. Pray, your kingdom come. Tell Satan to get away from your marriages. Get away from your families. Your kingdom come in my family. There was a lady who came into our pre-service prayer meeting. Must have been 9 or 10 years ago. And she was very upset because one of her brothers was dying in Liverpool. And she asked us to pray. She had witnessed to him, but he never made any commitment. So we prayed and off she went to see him. We began our services and I got up to preach. I felt led to stop and to invite people to pray. And people scattered around. Half a dozen people prayed. Continued on with the service. And at the end of it, she came back to us and said her brother had died. And as he was dying, all the rest of the family who were against the gospel were around him. But some of them wanted to go out for a smoke. And they said to her, would you look after him for just a few minutes while we go out? And she goes, certainly. So she had her opportunity. She said to her dying brother, she explained the gospel again, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? Yes, I would. He prayed the prayer following her. She said amen. He said amen. And that was his last words on earth. Your kingdom come in my family. No matter how far removed somebody seems from the gospel, keep praying, keep believing. There's another lady, and she'd come to faith, and she's from a large Caribbean family, and she kept bringing her other family to church things, and they weren't really interested. They were nice people, but they weren't really interested. And then, unfortunately, she got cancer, and in her mid-40s, she passed away without seeing any of them coming to faith. I spoke at the funeral, huge funeral, massive funeral, 1,000 people plus at it. And we talked about it afterwards in church, and we talked about it in home groups, that her prayers hadn't been met. But the prayers live on. Read Revelation. There's bowls with prayers in them. So the prayers lived on, and some of her family came to me a year later and says, we'd like a memorial service for her, and to explain what it would be like. So I agreed, and the church was packed. So I did a short, simple gospel message, made an appeal, and something like 18 of her family came to faith. Now, she didn't see that, but she wanted her family to come to know the Lord. Your kingdom come in my family. Even when people make poor choices. And very few families are abstained from that. People will make the wrong decisions at key times in their life. They go off on a pathway that they shouldn't. Keep praying. Your kingdom come. What about the church? Pray in the church family for love for each other, for tolerance for each other, for your leadership, for your elders, for your pastor. Pray that there would be a movement in the church, that you would encourage them. Pray that for religion, that Christ would come back into the center of religion, that his teaching would be important, because so many churches, certainly across the way, they do this and they do that and they do the other, and that's all well and good, and it was maybe a good idea 40 years ago, but bears no relation to what's happening in the state outside. And as I said, I'm standing there in the middle of that church, 13,500 people around us, and to me, God must want some of those people to come to faith. Your will be done. Your will, what's your will? Well, your will is none should perish, but all should inherit eternal life. So therefore, where there's people not coming in, we go out, we speak. Your will is love your neighbor as yourself. Your will is to help the poor and needy. Your will is to see brokenness healed. Situations turned round. It sounds lovely when you say about all these people coming to faith, but actually church at that point becomes very messy, because they don't have the Bible knowledge that most of you folk have, or most of Northern Ireland Christians have. So they're starting their baselines really, really low, and they've responded and they see and they understand that there is really good news here. But actually they keep going on doing the same mistakes as they always did. And it's three steps forward and 2¾ backwards. And that takes an awful lot of patience. We pray your kingdom come in their lives. It's your will that they move forward. And yet, they keep going back. Christian journey is a journey. It's a long journey. There are many curves in the roads, there are many potholes, as I'm sure you are aware. And when we pray, your kingdom come. When we pray, your will be done. And whenever you go down that list, whichever one strikes you most as important in your life or your family's life, you pray those things. You pray believing. I heard a lovely story recently of a man, and he was a musician, Christian musician, and he needed a new car, and him and his wife couldn't afford a new car, and they had a couple of children. And I'm not musical at all, but apparently one of the things about musicians is they're always hauling keyboards and guitars back and forward, and you have to fold the back seat of the car down. So he needed this car, a new car, or new-ish, but with a half-and-half back seat so as they could have some of the children in the back. But whenever he looked round, there wasn't anything that he could afford. He prayed, and he believed God had answered the prayer, and she believed God answered the prayer, but still no car, and he went, look, still nothing. A friend rang him up one day and said, would you like to buy my car? And he goes, no. And he goes, well, and tell me about your car. So this other guy's got a new-ish car, but he's got promotion at work. He's got a company car now, and he would like to sell his old car, and it's got a split back seat, so that would really suit the musician. So he went and chatted over with his wife, and they worked out they couldn't afford it. So went back to his friend and said, no, I'm sorry, can't afford it. A couple of weeks later, the guy rang him back again and said, are you sure you don't want to buy my car? And the guy says, no, but I'll chat with the wife again. We prayed about it. And so they did. And he went back and said, no, I'm sorry. I can't afford it. Meantime, he's out driving one day and somebody has a crash with him. And his old car is written off. Now, he's not injured, but the car's a write-off. And he says to his wife, we really need a new car now of some sort. But we've got the insurance money from the old. So they looked around, but they still couldn't find anything that was worthwhile. And he thought, well, I'll ring this other guy. And he rung his friend and says, are you still wanting to sell me that car? Yes. So he says, right, I've got the insurance money from this car. My car's been a write-off. And I don't know how much you're looking for your car. But if I give you the insurance money, whatever the balance that you're looking for your car is, I'll pay that off in installments over the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, whatever. The guy goes, right, okay. He says, how much have you in your pocket? And the guy goes in his pocket and says, I've £10. And the guy says, reach me, give me your £10. Reached him the £10. He reached him the keys to the car. And the musician says, what are you doing? And he says, God told me about 2 months ago to sell you my car for whatever money you had in your pocket. He was praying for a new car, and didn't actually believe that God was going to miraculously intervene. Now, God doesn't always miraculously intervene in such cases like that, but he does. Whenever we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we should believe. And the footnote of that prayer is the importance there in verses 14 and 15 about forgiveness. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. We can be praying and our prayers hitting the ceiling because we're carrying on forgiveness. Now, there's many ways to expand on this. This is a very, very brief look at this. I just want to turn, if you've got your Bible, just for a moment to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. It's an amazing psalm. And the bottom line of this psalm here is that everything revolves around God. So when we pray your kingdom come, when we pray your will be done, we reference everything in our total trust in God. It begins, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. In other words, you're the preserver of us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as you preserve our lives. I say to the Lord, you're my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. In other words, we've no other options, folks. We turn to God, we pray believing, because there isn't a better way, there's no other way. Verse 3, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Verse 4, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. And so it goes on. The question there is the contrast between the holy people, the people of God and the land, and those who run after false gods. Are we being distinctively different? Because if God is at the center of our lives, we will be distinctive. Our neighbors, our friends, our family who don't know me, you will not need to preach to them. They will see there's something attractive about that man, that woman, that family. What is it that's distinctive about you? See, this comes back to us. Let's go back to that idea of looking in the mirror. What are we seeing? Because what we are seeing is what outside's seeing. And if we're saying, well, I say one thing, but actually I do X, Y, and Z, but nobody knows it apart from God, well, that's actually coming through. We can't hide that. That's coming through. It goes on there, verse 5, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. In other words, there's a provision there that's running over. And then the thing I was quoting with the children, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. He instructs me, or my heart instructs me. In other words, as we sleep in things, God's Spirit works in through us. The importance, last thing at night, of not watching the news or not watching a scary film or not watching something like that, but actually spending a few moments reading God's Word, a few moments praying. That starts to turn over in our mind, and as we sleep, the Spirit ministers inwardly to us. Verse 8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I follow the Lord. I'm always following him. I'm beside him. And his strong right hand is my strength. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Because of God's presence, because of God's strength, because of God working in and through us. Move forward to the last verse of that Psalm 16. Verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You have made known to me the path of life. That one sentence there, we see four things for us. We see a guide. He has made known to us. The guide is you. The traveler is us. A way is the path. The end is life eternal. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Whenever we stay close to the Lord, he's with us, he guides us, and we are following a path that he has followed, even into eternity. Remember, he struggled in prayer. He went to his Father, and he prayed, not my will but thine. In other words, is there a way to do this differently? Father said no. Sometimes God's answer to us in prayer is no. But we still pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I pray for you all in the days and months and years ahead that you will be a praying people who know the reality of the living Lord Jesus working in and through you. As I've been showing around this lovely facility this morning, it is a really good facility. Throw open those doors and let the neighbors see and hear. God is good, because he is a good God. In a world that's full of bad news, we have the best possible news. that Jesus is alive. Jesus changes lives. Jesus wants the people to have life to the full. So let's pray, and then we'll have our closing hymn. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you how it ministers to us. What's been of me, I pray that it would fall away this morning. What's of you, I pray that it would go into people's heads, but most importantly, it would get into people's hearts. Lord, the mystery of preaching and the mystery of your word is that it speaks to us all in different ways. We will hear different things. So I do pray that for everyone, there is something to think about, to reflect on, to challenge, to encourage. Because no matter what the news says, our God is alive, and nothing and no one will ever stop his plans. We praise you for that today, Lord. We thank you so much that all of evil, all the rubbish that we see in our news, all the destruction, all the potential death, death itself has been destroyed by you. And so how can we do anything else but ring out our praises to you? Thank you indeed. You are a good, good God. And it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.